In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I hope this the gospel of today sounds familiar to everybody, because we heard the same one yesterday. Today is actually the 29th of the blessed month of Kiak. By God's grace and love for us, He wants us to celebrate the Feast of the Nativity twice this year. So we read the same gospel yesterday. And I'm not going to give you the same sermon as yesterday. I'll give you a different one. The gospel, or the message of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the foundation, or one of the ways God expresses His love towards mankind. And if we notice, all of our intimate relationships are based and founded on this concept of love. And today we can call is the day of the incarnation of love, or the taking flesh of love. If we can say that God is love, then we can say that today marks the day of the incarnation of love, or the taking flesh of love Himself. So God today is going to show us how He wants an intimate relationship with us. And just as any of our other intimate relationships, we communicate our love with one another in various manners. God, who is spirit and holy, communicates His love to us in a means that we can understand and a means we can perceive. Thus, He was incarnate and became man to show us this. So, and God wants to reassure us that He loved us even before we were born. So He loved us, and He became incarnate on our behalf and took flesh on our behalf out of His love for us. It says in Matthew, "Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you before the foundation of the world." So even before the foundation of the world, God wanted to share His love with us. And its ultimate fulfillment is His incarnation, and ultimately when we spend eternity with Him in His kingdom, God willing. So how does God express this love to us in a way that we can perceive it, or the way that we can understand? The first is that He wants to spend time with us. Many of us perceive that somebody loves us when they want to spend time with us. If I have a friend that always wants to, you know, spend time with me and speak with me, we can understand that as a communication of love. However, when we have a friend, or a so-called friend, who every time we call or every time we want to speak with them, they don't want to speak with us, we are turned off and we feel like they don't love us. But God, He wants to spend time with us. And He is available to us whenever we are ready. Night, day, you know, whether we're tired or whether we're awake. And any times of the day, God is always ready, waiting for us with open arms. And He says in the book of Revelation, and this is, you know, the last book in the Bible, where He's concluding all of the story of salvation that's written in the Holy Bible. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in him and dine with him, and he with me." So He's standing at our door knocking at any time, and He's there at the door. Imagine if He was at our house standing at the door, and every time you open the door to leave, He's there. This is how God is with us. He wants to spend time with us. All we have to do is just open the door and let Him in. So He's ready any time. And He's also ready in any condition. Many of us, you know, will say, you know, I'm on a spiritual low in this particular time of my life, and I feel terrible, and how can I even present myself before God or come to church? The book of Song of Songs speaks about a relationship between a bride and a bridegroom, or speaks about a relationship between God and His church. So the church, who is the bride, says to Him that, "I am dark and I'm not worthy to stand before you." But our Lord Jesus, or the bridegroom, who's figured in the Lord Jesus, says to this poor soul who sees themselves as being dark and full of sin and unworthy to stand before them, and He says, "Let me see your face and let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." So as if we're downcast and we're distressed, and God takes our chin and lifts up our head and says, look at me, I want to speak to you now. So God always wants to hear our voice at any time. So the first expression of love that God shows towards us is that he wants to spend time with us. The second is that he sympathizes with our condition and our pain. You know, if we can say, many times we can say among our brethren that they don't know what I'm going through because they haven't endured what I had to endure. Or, you know, they don't have, you know, they may be well off financially and I'm not well off, so they don't know, you know, they can't really sympathize with me. And we could have very well said the same thing about God. But God, out of his love, came and took our nature that was corrupt and wanted to make it perfect. One, so he can relate to us. So now we can look at him as a God, not a God who is, you know, up in heaven and has nothing to do with us, but a God who came down and took our form and our nature and endured the same emotions that we went through. You know, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ wept. It says that his sweat were like drops of blood. So he himself went through the pain and suffering that our human nature and that we go through every day. And because he went through that, we can look to him and say now, God, you know how we feel, and help us. And surely he does. He's a God that went through all of these things on our behalf. It says in the liturgy of St. Gregory, it says, you have made yourself of no reputation and took the form of a servant, and blessed my nature in you, which is our human nature, and fulfilled your law on my behalf. So he fulfilled his law, which is the commandment that no one else could keep, he kept. You have shown me the rising again from my fall. So you have shown me how my fallen nature can now rise up to you. You have perfected my nature in yourself. So how does he do that? Because he has gone through it. So God sympathizes and has pity on our fallen nature. And it says in 1 John, teacher St. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a command he gave, because he knows what we're subject to and he knows the temptations that we go through. And that's why he's given us the great mystery of the sacrament of repentance and confession, because he knows that we are fallen and we need a path of return. So he gives us that, and he gives us that with a promise. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So that's the second means of communication, how God reveals his love to us or expresses his love to us. The first is that he wants to spend time with us. The second is that he sympathizes with our condition. The third is that he offers us gifts. Now, many people when they receive gifts or they receive a gift from somebody, they say that this person loves me because he gave me this particular gift. And some people might even value how much a person loves them by the gift they get. For example, if you have you're going to get engaged and you get your wife a sapphire or a cubic zirconium instead of a diamond, that might be an expression of how much you love her. And actually, you probably won't get married at that point. So guys, I advise you not to do that. So we might value somebody's love based on the gifts that we get. So God gave us a gift, or gave us gifts. And he didn't give it to us at a price. Unfortunately, us guys, we have to pay for the ring. But when God gives us his gifts, we don't have to pay for anything. He gives it to us freely. And the word free here is very attracting to us as humans. If you notice all the stores outside around Christmas time, you have all the small words, and the word free is in big, bold letters, because we like things that are free. I wish, Yanni, we had that same yearning for the word free when God presents it to us in various ways, the gifts that he wants to give us. We're attracted to it in the same way. The first gift that, of course, that we can receive from God, that we receive from God, is his salvation, or is our salvation, I'm sorry. It says, St. Augustine says something very nice. He says, the love with which God created us appears to have cost him nothing. So he created us, it took him nothing. All he said was a word, and we were created. But the love with which God so loved the world manifestly costs him everything. For the way God is going to express that love, the so loved the world, as written in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. So that costs him his Son, or the Son, to be incarnate, to take our form, our corrupt nature, to be ridiculed and mocked, and finally lifted up on the cross and raised on the dead, all for our sake. So creation, it took nothing, but for our salvation, it costs him everything. He also gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we all enjoy now, and through it we grow in our spiritual life and journey from glory to glory with this Holy Spirit that God has given us. St. Paul says about the Spirit, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So this Holy Spirit that dwells within us is also a free gift that we receive from God that costs us nothing. And if you look at the magnitude of this Holy Spirit that is dwelling within us, it's beyond me. You know, God not only took the form of man and came to dwell among us, but he wanted our intimacy with him to be even deeper than that. He wanted to dwell within us. So he's not only changing us from without, but he wants to change us from within. This is the second gift that God has given us. A third is that he's given us many physical deliverances according to his divine will and providence. He says in Matthew to the disciples, he tells them, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So he's telling the disciples to do the things which he has done, which is healing the sick, cleansing the lepers. So God, if it is his will and desire to grant us any of these physical blessings, these are also given to us for free. We never heard of a story of Baba Kullus who came to heal somebody and he charged him or had his pocket open after he committed or after he performed a miracle, or any of one of the saints. But yet they do it in private as much as possible and try to flee from any praise or glory. So that's just another testament to their free gift, or free gift that God gives us. So he gives us many free gifts, and I hope that we can be attached or attracted to God's free gifts to us as we do the free gifts that we receive from the world. So we said that, how does God express his love? He expresses it with, he wanted to spend time with us, he sympathizes with our condition, and he offers us free gifts. The fourth is that he came to serve and not to be served. Again, many of us communicate love and wanting to serve somebody. If I serve somebody, or serve my husband, my children, my wife, if I serve them, that's an expression of my love, and that's how I can express my love to them. And some people also, they appreciate the service that other people give them, and they receive that as love as well. Just as maybe a husband might really feel that his wife loves him if, when he comes home, the dinner is ready or the house is clean, whatever it might be. That might be the way he receives love. And also, the woman might look at the husband and consider him as he loves her if he comes and asks about her, how her day went. And offer, if he can make her a cup of tea, or even, any type of service that he might offer to her, she might receive as an expression of love. And our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to show us that he came to serve us as well. And he says, in Matthew 20, he says, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life ransom for many." So our Lord came to give his life as a ransom and to serve us. And we see that a good example when he came to wash the disciples' feet. He stooped down and washed their feet. This is actually a service that the slave or the servant in the house should do. And back then, they didn't have shoes or sneakers, so their feet, when they came from travel or outside, were atrocious. It was disgusting. They probably smelled bad. God knows what they stepped in. So this is something that our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Glories, did for his disciples who were following him. And also in Luke 22, it says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. So he's telling his disciples, if you want to be great, do like I did. Wash the feet of your brethren. Serve. And I want to say to all of us that the service that we provide to God is very important. But the service that we provide to our family should be the source or where we practice our service first. If we can't serve our families and those that we are closest to and love the most, how are we going to serve our brothers and sisters outside? If so, then we should reconsider maybe why I'm serving. Am I serving the outside people so I can get some kind of praise, or am I serving because I love them? So if we can serve those in our inner family out of love first and learn how to serve by serving them, surely our service outside to our brothers and sisters and to the Lord will be out of a loving heart. And finally, in our teacher St. Paul tells us to serve one another in love. So we said, God expresses his love by spending time with us, sympathizing with our condition. He offers us free gifts, and he came to serve. He came to serve us. The next one is that he gives us a heavenly touch. And sometimes people might feel love from one another by a particular, you know, maybe somebody came and, you know, you can tap somebody on the back or give somebody, you know, a hug. A lot of times people perceive these physical touches as acts of love. And of course, we should just be cautious how we do this, because this can be a door for Satan. But some, you know, people might express love by physical touch or a pat on the back. And our Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing with us. He wants to let us know that he's there. And sometimes he taps us on the back or on the side to direct us kind of where we're going. And the image that came to my mind was the image of the Good Shepherd. It says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I picture like a shepherd who is walking, and if you ever looked at a shepherd who is shepherding his sheep, if they start straying on to one direction, he gives them a tap on one side and they know to go the other direction. And they start going this way, he taps them on the other direction so they know to go back. So he's keeping them on the straight path with this heavenly touch. And God will also do the same thing with us. Sometimes when we start straying from God, God will send us a message, like a little love tap, and to tap us and tell us, hey, you're going in the wrong direction, come back. I want to show you, you know, the right way to go. So this is another way that God expresses his love for us, when we realize that he's there and he's guiding our life with this heavenly touch. The last and final way that God expresses his love for us is his sacrifice. And if we think about it, this is the God who dwelt in heaven. It says the choir, when they came on New Year's to present us, they presented us with a song about our heavenly King. And in that, one of the verses in that in the song, it says he gave up his throne, or he left his throne for us. So God, he came down from heaven, where he was, you know, perfect and, you know, ruling with all power and might, and he came and took the form of a servant. I just want to clarify, you know, to those who believe, you know, God, when he came and became man, he didn't leave his heavenly throne. But God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. So even when he was on earth, he was also in heaven on his throne. So we might say metaphorically that he left his throne, but he's actually he was in both places. So he left his throne and came and took the form of a servant. He left the honor that he had, and he gave up his life for us. And Saint Paul to the Philippians, he says, who being in the form of God, did not consider a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So he sacrificed all that he had to give us life. And this idea of sacrifice is something that when we communicate love to one another, again, when we sacrifice for our brothers and sisters, this is an expression of love. And by sacrifice, I don't mean if I have $100 and I give you, you know, a dollar or two. That's not much of a sacrifice. But a true sacrifice is when we offer something and it leaves me in need or leaves me in want. So when we sacrifice to somebody, you give them something that you yourself may have wanted. And now, because I offered that gift, I'm no longer able to have that or what I desired. And this is the sacrifice that God would like from us, is when we offer something, offer it, just as the lady who offered the two mites. This was her livelihood, but she went and gave it to the church at that time. So may God grant us to feel the love that He expresses towards us. And just to recount what we said, God expresses His love for us in that He wants to spend time with us. He sympathizes with our condition and our nature. He offers us free gifts that we don't have to pay for or work for. He came to serve us, and He offers us His heavenly touch and guidance. And also He came and offered us a sacrifice. So just as we perceive love in physical manners, the same also God came and wanted to communicate His love to us through those means that we can perceive them. And to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.